This is your Commander-in-Chief. I'm issuing a warning. The following podcast contains adult content and intended for a mature audience. Listener discretion is advised. Enjoy.
All right, so this Saturday night, UFC Fight Night 60. It's Brendan Thatch versus Ben Henderson, who's going up two weight classes to fight him, which I think is insane. I'm a big Ben Henderson fan, but this guy he's fighting is 11-1.
Wait, hold on. Is Ben coming up from 55 or 45?
Oh, 55. Well, one weight class, right?
Okay, I was like, when did he?
Yeah.
45.
Thank you, Jesus. Evan the Beard. You're right. He's going up one weight class. Which I still a lot of weight, but he walks around big though. He walks around big. Well, who do you guys like in this card? On that fight, at least.
I always like Ben Henderson.
Ben Henderson without cutting weight is like a completely different fighter, I think.
Why?
Because he's not gonna have to cut any weight. That really affects your performance.
So he's better.
As much as people, yeah, absolutely, faster, stronger, more agile.
It's also, you know, the thing about it's this is
right, Marina?
Yeah, like, I just can't look at him right now.
You can't, Marina and me, you can't look at me. Why?
Dude, you should have heard people listening. You should have heard the fight that they just had it here. It was epic.
It wasn't that good.
Oh,
it was kind of good.
How was it a fight?
I have high hopes for in studio fights.
How was it?
Like a four.
How was it a fight? How was it a fight? It wasn't a fight. It was
all right, bickering.
It wasn't bickering. I was stating.
Bickering, Evan?
No.
Was it bickering?
Yeah, that's not a fight. It's just bickering.
Bickering, yeah.
That's fine. That's what normal old married couples do. Marina's well on her way to being the old married Jewish mother.
Mrs. Hunter. Marina Hunter. No. First of all, Marina has a boy.
My family's filled with Russian Jews, too. I know how it gets down.
Listen, I know. Have you met my mom? Were you here when my mom was here?
No, I wasn't.
I like your mom likes me, by the way.
No, well, you know, she doesn't know you very well.
She doesn't know me very well. Okay, whatever. All right. I'll look this way. You can look that way. It's great. Okay, so we're looking
better
at
for me. Oh.
Lover's quarrel.
Wow. All right, so... This is the most that Thatch is stepping up. Look, Bendo, I thought the Cerrone fight, I thought he actually won that fight. It was very, very close. I thought he won the fight against Donald Cerrone. And, you know, I hope he wins. Seems like a good guy. He lost Dos Anjos. He got killed. But Thatch hasn't lost in 6 years. You got a guy who hasn't lost in 6 years at a higher weight class. It's a big step up. But that's going to be a good fight. The fight I'm looking forward to the most is Max Holloway versus Cole Miller.
That's going to be a good fight.
That's a tough fight to call right there. I like both of those guys.
Holloway's on a 4-fight winning streak. Cole's on a 2-fight winning streak. His last loss was to your guy, Manny Gambarian. I don't know. I mean, Max Holloway, that loss to McGregor is looking better and better. Look how good McGregor's looking right now. Mm-hmm. That was a very close fight. Who am I picking in this fight? This is tough. I mean, on the ground, Cole Miller, but standing, Holloway.
Yeah, I think if Holloway can keep it standing, he has a pretty good chance of winning it.
So do I. Now, Neil Magny is taking on Kichi Kaminoto.
I don't know these fighters.
Magny had 5 fights last year. 5 fights in 2014. That's a lot of fights.
He looks like a wino to me.
A wino?
Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Like a wine guy?
Like a drunk. Like an old black drunk. That sounds terrible, but he does. When I see him, I'm like,
Marina, I don't know why you're so upset.
I'm listening. I'm not upset anymore.
It's hard to respond to what just came out of his mouth.
But it's hard because I have him saying he's all black drunk. This one's angry at me texting.
I'm not angry anymore. I've let it go. I just don't want to look at you right now because every time I look at you, I want to slap you again.
Why do you want to slap me? you already established so far you could fuck me up on the show.
You are so
I've never had anybody
butthurt.
Say, I would fuck him up. I would fuck you up, man. I would totally fuck you up. I know you're a 36-year-old comedian who hasn't wrestled since fucking 12th grade, but I would fuck you, or college for a semester. But I would fuck you up, okay? Man, I'm sorry. And then she goes on and goes, oh, I would never date a guy that I could beat up. It was like fucking, that was during the break. So not only she says, I would fuck you up, and then fucking Don Juan DeMarco asks her fucking, hey, DeMarco says, hey, would you ever date a guy you could beat up? No. Are you kidding? After she
I did not respond like that. Fuck up Calm that shit down.
Yeah, not that I want to date Marina because I like my fucking sanity, okay? And trust, he has a boyfriend who I totally respect because he's a nice guy and he could fuck me up. Okay, but still, the fact of the matter is that she goes, I would fuck you up. And then I wouldn't date him. And then
dead on impression.
Yeah, because I answered it like a housewife. Exactly.
You did.
Like a Bravo housewife. I would fuck him up.
The Real Housewives of Moldova. I swear to God, that's what happened. But why? All because the whole thing stemmed because I'm not the biggest fan. But look, it's working, the GFC. It's working for Ronda. It's working for Travis Brown. Who knows? Maybe it takes people a couple losses to learn the Edmund program. You know, maybe that's what it is. I don't know. Maybe I'll just fucking take an amateur fight so that I could honestly. That's what I'm gonna do. I'm signing up. I'm signing up. After this, I'm foregoing my ACL surgery and I'm quitting comedy. I'm no longer gonna work here. I'm gonna do an amateur fight. So what's it called again? The College of University of MMA. Fucking. You got me, buddy. I fucking know that guy. He's a nice guy.
We'll set up a couple smokers for you.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait. Sign me up. I'm gonna be there. This good. I can't wait. And the T-Rex gonna be in my corner. Me. You'll be late, so it'll just be fucking me walking out by myself. And then as I'm getting fucking punched in the face, I'll have Marina going, I can fuck you up in the corner, which would be fucking great. Yep. It's awesome. This is great. I'm glad I organized this. All right, so.
Solid rant.
And does anybody else hate me? They want to fucking join this podcast?
All right. Open the phone lines.
Let's open the phone lines. We don't have phone lines because.
You get flooded with calls.
Oh, thanks, Evan the Beard.
Our switchboard isn't big enough to handle all those.
All right, so. All right, another good fight coming up. We have.
Who do you have in the Magny Kunimoto fight? Because that guy looks exactly like Akiyama.
I have Magny winning. I have Magny winning. I have Neil Magny winning. The guy fights fucking, he's going to fight six times on the way to the fucking octagon. Now, Dan Kelly versus Richard Walsh. You know who Dan Kelly is?
Sounds familiar.
Well, you should. No, he's a four-time judo Olympian. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He took seventh for Australia. He's fighting Richard Walsh.
That's where
I knew him from. A freestyle All-American wrestler. I saw Dan Kelly's fight, so his stand-up is not that good. His judo is amazing, but he usually uses his judo.
Mm-hmm. For the win.
So
you're such a dick.
So he's fighting Richard Walsh.
I wouldn't know because I'm not looking in that direction.
Okay, by the way, Marina will not look at me anymore.
No.
What did I do? I did absolutely nothing.
No, just continue talking about the fights. We've let it go.
Rhonda's mom would agree with me right now. Okay, just so you know. Dr. Anna Marie. No. Just for the record, whatever I said, Rhonda's mom, she actually loved the song. Did she tell you about that? She loved the song. All right, so Kevin fucking Kevin Lee is fighting Michael Perazaz. Oh, by the way, I like Dan Kelly in that fight. Who do you like in that fight? Dan Kelly or Richard Walsh?
I guess Dan Kelly.
Didn't he host America's fucking Most Wanted?
His name's Patrick Walsh.
Oh. Patrick Walsh. Who's the guy America's Most Wanted guy?
Adam Walsh? No, it was his son.
Adam Walsh was the son. It was, right. He's fighting the host of America's Most Wanted. Fucking whatever the Walsh guy. And then
you have to be at least like 25, 26 years old to get that reference.
I know. I know you're young. I know Evan the Beard.
I remember that show. That was a good one.
It was a good show.
That was a good
I've never seen it.
I'm not
really
going to knock America's Most Wanted. That was a fantastic.
Oh, yeah, I have actually. Never mind.
Well, you know what? If it was a fight between the host of America's Most Wanted and Marina
would fuck him up.
I would fuck you up, America's Most Wanted guy. I would fuck you up. That's all I'm going to hear now in my fucking sleep. So
hug your dog. Make yourself feel better.
I will hug
just
my
bring
dog.
Him next week.
I should bring my dog. I'm like sick. He's allowed in here now. He's a service dog.
Yeah.
So
he'll be allowed in here regardless.
Really?
Oh yeah. You can bring your dog in here whenever you want.
Oh, I'll bring him in here. So Kevin Lee is fighting Michael Prazeres. He's a second degree Michael Prazeres.
Prazeres.
Kevin Lee's our guy. Yeah. The Motown phenom. He's fighting Kevin a second degree black belt. I think Kevin Lee's going to win. He's going to keep it standing and win.
Yeah.
And Nick Lentz is fighting Levin Makashvi, who fights out of Oceanside, New York, which is where I'm from. I didn't even know there was a fucking gym there. But Nick Lentz is fighting on the undercard. But,
I don't know. I've never heard of that guy.
Nobody has. He took the fight on short notice.
I'm guessing Nick Lentz.
I'm guessing Nick Lentz. And then Zach Markovsky.
Oh, Fun Size.
Fun Size, which is the name of T-Rex's penis. is taking.
Have fun with the size.
Oh! Pow-dow!
I really hate that I was in the middle of that.
can we get a high
pressure? Hell yeah. I would fuck you up, T-Rex. So, Zach Markovsky's nope. taking on. Oh,
nope,
she's
don't.
Angry.
Just don't touch me.
She's angry.
Just don't.
Why?
Do
why
that.
Are you so angry?
Because I'm not angry.
You're the one.
Oh, who... shit, get back to the fight.
I know, time. Right? Jesus Christ! You're acting more like a female than I am.
Well, obviously I am because
I'm obviously like... letting it go. I just don't want to look at you right now. I have enough peripheral going on right now.
She can see enough of you out of the side of her eye without a look.
Jesus Christ! Well, it's a good thing you're not Bisbing. You can see me totally without.
Yeah. Goddamn.
So Markovsky's fighting Tim Elliott. Should be a good fight. It's going to be a close fight.
Yeah.
Tim Elliott.
All right, Tim. Really? You like Tim?
No, I'm asking who that is.
He's a guy from Life Goes On. he was
the
also
guy
on.
Is Corky?
No, the guy, no. That show Life Goes On. He was on Saturday Night Live. The guy.
Chris Elliott?
That's Chris Elliott. Oh, fuck. I thought he was fighting Chris Elliott. No, Tim Elliott's good. He looks like Wolverine a little bit.
He does.
But I like Zach. And then James Munsari, who fights out here. He fought Joe Ellenberger. He's good, though. He's actually really good.
He's fucking aggressive, isn't he?
Yes.
Super aggressive.
He's fighting on the undercard. So that's so listen, base all your picks on what we just told you, and you'll make a lot of money. Trust me. Let's call Anthony Johnson right now. Anthony Johnson.
Hello?
Anthony Johnson.
What up?
How's it going? It's Adam Hunter, T-Rex, and Marina Shafir. You're on the MMA Roasted Podcast.
What's up,
Shane?
Congratulations, man. You are the number one contender. You're fighting for the title.
Yeah. Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
I mean, how crazy is that? I was thinking, like, last year you were on the World Series of Fighting at this time, and now you're fighting for the UFC title. I mean, you look back and you're like, man, what a fucking year I had.
Yeah, I mean... I just think about the journey I've had from day one, from fighting at 170 all the way to here, and now I'm fighting for a title. It doesn't seem real, but, you know, I accept the role.
Well, I mean, you earned it, man. I mean, you beat Gustafson. That was crazy. That was a great fight. It was a brutal fight, brutal first round for him at least. Now, were you a couple times he hit you with an uppercut. Were you ever hurt during that fight?
He hit me once with the uppercut, but it didn't faze me. It didn't faze me at all. I was in the zone too much to be fazed by anything that he did.
Yeah, I mean, I was crazy. Now, when what happened afterwards? Were people, because the entire Sweden was like, it was like they were shocked. It was like you could hear a pin drop. Did you walk? Were people nice to you afterwards? Were people giving you dirty looks? Or what was it like?
They were cool. They were happy that I showed respect to Alex after the fight. You know what I mean? They were glad that I wasn't being a dick towards them. You know, so I showed them respect and they showed respect back.
You're definitely a humble rumble, that's for sure.
A humble rumble.
I try to be.
No, I remember we had a girl, Cindy Dandwa, on the show who was in love with you, by the way. I mean, she
was in love. And when I say love, I mean love.
Yeah, she was in
love. Yeah, we've talked. She's a cool girl.
Yeah. Did you see her when you were over there?
No, not at all. But like I said, we talked on Twitter and she's super cool.
Now, how many Swedish girls did you bang that night?
Oh,
I mean,
not one, bro. It was too cold to even think about that.
Come on. There's no way. You went over there.
Snuggle up in some nice, warm woman's arms.
Yes. You're telling me you weren't eating that like cheesecakes afterwards? You weren't just stacking up Swedish girls?
Swedish women love black dudes,
nah,
too.
I wish. If I was there just visiting, I probably would have had 10 or 20. But I ain't have one. I didn't have none.
Nice. Well, good for you. I mean, I'm kind of actually not good for you. That's horrible. You should have.
Good for you. I mean, that's horrible.
You should have taken advantage of it. You're Anthony Rumble Johnson.
Yeah, man. But I'm the enemy over there at the moment. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
right.
They weren't trying to get me one.
I don't know. I think you definitely could have scored. If you went on like Tinder over there,
my God,
it could have been your night, man.
I don't know. I ain't never been on that site.
Now,
good.
you're missing. Now, you're gonna fight John Jones. Have you been watching the Daniel Cormier Jones fight or the Gustafson Jones fight to kind of give you a game plan of what to do?
No, I haven't started any of that stuff yet. Right now, I'm just still, you know, training. I'm still, you know, keeping my weight down. I'm not gonna let the fight take over my life. You know what I mean? I'm still go out and enjoy myself and do what I do. I don't want to watch tape on them yet. You know what I mean? It would be pointless.
Because you know that there's going to be a time where it's going to be your camp. That's all you're going to be doing.
All consumed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think that's what Daniel Cormier? Did you watch the Jones Cormier fight?
Yeah, I watched it.
Do you think maybe Cormier got too much in his head, got too emotional, let the whole
moment? Yeah, he definitely got. In my opinion, he fought on emotion. He didn't fight, you know, trying to fight like a real fight and be smart about it. You know what I mean? Because if somebody can get on your skin when they say you suck, then yeah, that's not a good thing. That's a bad look on you.
Has anybody ever got under your skin in a fight?
No, never. Because I know eventually I'm going to catch him sooner or later. And you can try whatever you want to try. It just makes me, you know, more focused.
I just got way more excited about this fight.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. I know you're Jones' most dangerous opponent. You're definitely the most explosive guy, most athletic guy. And I don't think he can get in like your head.
That's going to be the key is his explosiveness, I think, to just keep the wheels turning against this motherfucker.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, I'm going to do my best. You know what I'm saying? Jones has seen it all. So I know I have to bring something to the table for him. So I don't know. You know what I'm saying? We'll see. Of course, I'm going to go out there and be myself. But, you know, he could be ready. He could not be ready.
Are you thinking about lining up the octagon with Sugar? And that way he's distracted? And then you could punch him when he's looking at the sugar?
No.
That's what I would do. I mean, I don't know. I mean, what do you think about the whole, like, I'm in love with the Coco and that whole thing with John Jones?
Hello?
Yeah. What do you think about John's, what do you think about the whole thing with John Jones and the Coke and all that?
I mean, like I said before, he's human. People make mistakes. You know, I'm pretty sure whenever he got busted, he was, like, stupid. You know what I'm saying? He called his own self stupid. So, I mean, I ain't got nothing against him or to say bad about him. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, nobody's perfect. People make mistakes. Is it just, you know, one of the many mistakes he's going to make his whole life?
Yeah. Do you think it had anything to do with Overeem?
Nah. Nah, not at all.
Now, what do you think about all these guys, though, like Anderson Silva getting popped with Roy's and now Hector Lombard today and John Fitch? I mean, how many people do you think are on steroids in the UFC, and how should they deal with this?
I really don't know. I never think about it, you know, but right now it's a hot topic, you know. I really don't know how many guys are on something. I mean, I think everybody's just trying to get that edge, you know what I'm saying? Trying to stay in the game and make as much money as they can, so they're taking whatever they can to stay up, because these young guys are coming, you know, they're getting bigger, faster, and stronger, and even more skilled than whenever I started. You know, so I think they're just doing whatever they can to make sure they stay one step ahead of these younger guys.
Yeah, no, that's what Marina was saying earlier. Now, are you the thing is also, are you are you embracing yourself for this media frenzy that's going to happen? Because, you know, once that fight gets announced, whenever it is, all of a sudden you're going to be like the most popular guy in the country. All of a sudden, all the lights, camera, action are going to be on you. How are you going to deal with that?
I don't know. Just like I'm dealing with you. Talk to them. You know what I'm saying? That's it.
Yeah. No, I think you got to. Honestly, I think you're the guy, man. I thought Cormier was the guy, but then I see when I watched the weigh-ins and I saw how emotional Cormier was, and I'm like, he's fucked. I mean, he's screwed. This does not look like a guy who's relaxed. And one thing about you is that you are relaxed. I think a lot of it also is what you've been through when, you know, the whole thing in Brazil, fighting Vitor Belfort, almost dying, missing weight by, you know, 97 pounds, having to get an IV, all the stuff you deal with as far as with the girl stuff. You've been through it. Nothing's going to faze you, right?
Yeah, to me, I'm just having fun now. You know what I mean? So the stuff I've been through, of course, that makes life easier whenever it comes down to fighting, you know. So, like you said, I feel like I've been through it all and seen it all. So, whenever it comes down to fighting, that's just a piece of cake to me.
Yeah, and then plus the way that you dealt with Phil Davis. I mean, not that Phil Davis is John Jones, but you got a tall, athletic guy in front of you, and the way that you were able to, you know, connect on Phil Davis, it's just Phil even said he was rocked. He was out almost out of that fight.
If Anthony hits anybody, they're going to feel it. Just like Gustafson did, just like Arlovsky did. He fucked Arlovsky up, son.
Yeah.
I had to take Arlovsky to the hospital.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, me and Arlovsky were in the hospital together.
Yeah, and then I took Anthony to the hospital, and he was in the car all excited. He was like, I broke his jaw. And I was like, yeah, you knocked his teeth out. He's like, I knocked his teeth out. I was like, you fucked him up. I fucked him up.
You know he's fucked up if he's like letting you go take him to the hospital. That's when you know a guy's fucked up. First of all,
drive a lot of people everywhere.
He's probably 8 hours late to the hospital.
He was halfway healed by the time he got there.
Well, man. So, all right. So now what's going on with you and like the Black Zillions? I mean, is it just a big party over there right now? Is it just tons of chicks?
Nah, man. We're just we're over here just training hard, staying to film in the Ultimate Fighter ACC versus Black Zillions, and. Yeah, dude, just we're just trying to do what we do and stay on top. That's it.
Nice. Now, do you have a girlfriend?
No.
Nah. See, I mean, nah. So now are all these girls
That shit is trouble. That's trouble.
I can't believe you didn't bang Cindy Dandwa.
Oh, my God.
She warned you, dude. Come on.
I didn't see it. I didn't see it.
I mean, I know she's got
Now, when you say it... What exactly are you talking about?
I didn't see her.
Oh, okay.
But you would, though. But like if Cindy was in front of you and she was like, hey, Anthony, I want some of your rumble.
Oh, my God.
You're telling me that you wouldn't walk, you know, go over there and take care of business?
I mean, I guess it depends on the situation.
Is she fine?
Huh?
Is she fine?
She ain't an ugly girl, you know what I'm saying? But you just never know. You can see a girl might look cute on the picture, and then when you see it in person, you'd be like, okay, next. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So, see him in person trying to swipe to the left?
Yeah.
Now, are there a lot of Black Zillion groupies out there?
No idea, dude. I mind my own business. I don't pay attention to if there are any out here.
So you're home. You're just single and horny. That's fucking scary. That's a real scary thought. Is that you?
Yeah, that's why I punch so hard, because I got to deal with this shit.
Well, so
then, my right hand is strong.
So John Jones probably is gonna start to send over chicks to you. That's the way to do it.
He might. You know, if I was him, I would try it.
I think there's a little bit of reverse psychology happening here.
Nice. you think Anthony wants these chicks?
Who knows? No. I don't know. He's a single guy.
Yeah, and Anthony likes white girls.
Yeah.
That's his thing. He likes the white chicks. He's in love with the white cocoa. Both you and John like the white stuff.
Oh man, you guys are crazy.
So all right. So now, when's this fight going to be announced? I mean, what are you thinking about?
Dana said it's supposed to be in May, but nothing. I mean, there's no data set yet.
Wait, the fight's going to be announced in May, or is it going to take place in May?
No, Dana said he already announced that it was supposed to be in May, but no date is set yet. You know, what I'm saying?
Wow.
No specific day.
Vegas. It's got to be Vegas.
I assume.
Yeah, it's got to be Vegas.
That would be great.
I mean, John doesn't fight anywhere but Vegas, as far as I know. You know what I mean? So, we'll see.
Wow, yeah.
I think he might have to now.
Yeah. He might have. Yeah, yeah. I don't think
he has any leverage on that decision anymore.
So, now what's going through your head, man? Like I have to know. You go out there, you punch Gustafson, he's down, the ref stops to fight. What are you thinking at that moment?
I'm just hoping that I finish this guy. That's all I was thinking. I was determined not to quit punching him until the ref stepped in. Like he was looking like he was dead. And that's it.
Was there ever a fear of like, hey, don't rush too in because I might gas myself out or punch myself out?
No, not at all. I was in great shape for that fight, so I wasn't worried about gassing out at all. Hmm.
Now who's this? Now and then you have that new wrestling coach, right? The guy that beat that Rashad beat in college. That was like the
Greg Jones.
Greg Jones, right? He's like the man. What happened with Kenny Monday?
They just had disagreements and stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, dude, I don't get into people's business. I'm in my own business. I got enough shit I got to deal with. I'm not worried about somebody else. So all I know is they had their own ups and downs, and they decided to part ways. That's all I know.
So Anthony Johnson's day is this. So you wake up, you eat breakfast, you go train, you eat again, you train again, then you go home and you stare at the wall? And then wait for the John Jones fight?
Yeah. Basically, watch TV, play with my dogs.
Nice.
You know, mind my own business.
Right. So you just like, how could I stay out of trouble for this fight? I like it. I like
exactly.
It.
That's it. That's it, dude. Because
how many dogs
you
know are you raising
how this
now?
World is.
How many dogs are you raising? How many dogs are you raising now?
I just got another one. I named him Bronx.
Bronx. So you got Wall Street and Bronx.
Yeah, well, Wall Street is still in California. Bronx is with me now in Florida.
I'm going to steal Bronx. I mean, Wall Street.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You can have him.
I love that dude.
Now, who do you like this week, Bendo or Thatch?
I don't even know the other dude.
He's 11.
Who is he?
His name is Benson Henderson.
Yeah. He's 11-1. He's a tough guy. He's beaten almost every. He hasn't lost since 2008. Brandon Thatch. He's supposedly pretty good. He's a 170 pounder. So what's his name's coming up?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna still go with Ben. You know, I respect any man who will step up to the challenge, especially go up in weight to fight somebody. So I'm gonna go with Ben on this one.
All right. Now, what about your teammate Cole Miller? Right, he's fighting Jerome. No. Cole Miller's American top team. Jerome Max Holloway versus Cole Miller. Who do you like?
I don't know. I think Cole is my boy. I think he's probably got better jiu-jitsu than you said Max Holloway.
Yeah.
I think Cole has better jiu-jitsu than Max, but Max is a little, he kind of dirty with a stand-up. That boy will fight you.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think if Cole can't get it to the ground, he might be in some trouble, you know, but I'm going to go with Max.
All right. Asian girls or white girls?
White, son.
What do you say, white?
White.
Oh, come on. Asian girls all day, no?
No, they got booties.
They don't get the booties, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know some that have booties.
Yeah, Marina's got a big booty.
It ain't many. Oh, that's, you know, like they do, what is it, the Hells Angels, what they have on their jacket, that patch to say 1%ers or whatever.
Yeah.
That's what the ones that got booties, like them 1%ers, you know what I'm saying? It ain't many of them.
Shayna has a big ass.
I'm sure.
Shayna who?
Shayna Baszler. She fights for the UFC. She's a 135er. She has a huge ass.
I'm sure women are very happy about that since she's a lesbian.
I gotta see it.
You gotta see Marina's ass.
No,
Marina has a nice Jewish ass. I know it's big. It's full of gefilte fish.
Oh my God.
You know who's got the one girl that's got the biggest ass I've seen?
Don't even say Kim Winslow.
Beth.
Who?
Best Correa?
The Brazilian chick, Beth.
Oh,
Best
Correa. Yeah. She's got a great ass. Yes.
Oh, my God. Her face ain't that great, but her ass is on point.
Yeah, she looks a little bit like Wanderlei Silva, but she...
Wanderlei Silva's older sister.
Yeah, she does. But yeah.
She looks like his older sister is what she looks like.
her definitely doggy style on that one.
No, honey. Keep your face down.
Yes.
Don't look back at it.
At all times, even when we're not having sex, just doggy style. what about Ronda's got a booty, Ronda Rousey, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, Ronda's complete, too. Misha Tate has, to me, a really nice ass. All the top women have a nice ass, actually.
Really? Kat Zingano's, her kind of doesn't have the nicest butt.
Yo, dude, Kat has a tight body, though. I saw her whenever we did the This Is Now press conference.
Yeah.
And she was looking hot.
Were you?
I was like, damn, this girl is actually stacked.
Nice. Did you guys hit it off?
No, I didn't go that route, bro. Didn't go that route. Did not go that route at all.
Now, when you say route, which route are we talking about here?
I'm not going her route.
Oh my God. You're the best.
She's a cool chick. She's actually really cool. She's a sweetheart, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when it comes down to business, I definitely try and keep things business. I'm gonna try and mix work and, you know, pleasure together like that.
Juliana Pena's got a nice butt too.
Speaking of business,
Juliana Pena's got a nice butt as well.
Would you give her the business?
Yeah, she does. She got a real nice little dunk back there.
I'm telling you though, Marina's got the best dunk.
Would you?
You got the 145 pound dunk.
No, I don't. No,
it's true.
No, just all right. Just all right. Stop talking about it.
All right, fine. that's good.
You talking about you? You talking about you?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's a
okay. T Rex, send me a picture of that.
No.
Send me a text.
No.
With or without clothes on it.
No.
Yeah, send me a picture of that, Sean.
All right, Sean.
And not only that, but she says when it comes to
no, you're not. No, please.
Okay,
please don't.
No. She, what, really? She said when it comes to what's it called? Not scissoring, the other one.
Oh my god,
the pile driver.
Yeah, she said that when it comes to pile driving, she's a team player. So I don't know if you've ever pile drived a girl. Have you ever pile drived a girl before?
No.
No, never. Have you ever pile drive the girl?
Of course.
Really?
Yeah.
How often do you do it?
I don't do that often anymore. I'm an old man now.
What are you, Mr. Wonderful, Paul Arndorf? I don't understand. Like, how many times have you pile drive chicks?
I don't know. I mean, it can't be on the first nut. It has to be on like the third. It's like the third nut, so you can really show off.
If we don't pile drive on the third night, this is over. You have to pile drive by three nights. I have a 4-date pile drive rule.
Right.
If I don't get the pile drive by 4 dates, it's not going to work out. Just so
it usually never works out, huh?
It's that's why I'm single. If a girl doesn't pile drive me by the 4th date, so I hear you. So Anthony Johnson, you're in Florida. You're a black zillion. You're fighting for the title.
Do you watch pro wrestling?
I used to. I used to watch it when it was like WCW and WWF. But since it became WWE, I kind of just fell off because to me it became a little bit too over the top active.
Yeah, I asked because
Ric Flair was the man, Legion of Doom, all of them cats. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? When they had like. They was at Coco Beware, all of that.
Would you ever segue into pro wrestling, like maybe after your fighting career?
If the price was right.
Uh-huh. What would your nickname be?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I would have to call you and you come up with one.
Maybe a grumble, because your stomach's always grumbling.
What?
Because I'd be
fat as hell by then.
He was at 170 at one point.
Now,
that's crazy. You're at 170, and you were great at 170, but now you're going to be the champ at 205. That's fucking insane. Just goes to show you, man. A lot of times, cutting weight is not the answer. You know.
Yeah. You know. Sometimes you just have to. Whenever I was cutting weight, I was trying to be bigger, faster, stronger. You know what I mean? I thought that would work for me, but obviously it didn't. So I'm glad that I moved up in weight because I feel 10 times better now that I moved up.
What are you walking around at?
I'm 223 right now.
220. That's not bad.
That's not bad at all.
That's scary. Nah. That's scary as fuck though, to think about.
But whenever I fought at my fight, I was 220, 219.
Yeah, wow.
20 pounds is not like... That's for a guy that's like nothing.
And for him, that's like missing lunch. You know. I can't wait, man. Anthony, I can't wait for your fight. Keep at it. Keep doing a great job. You know, keep all the great work you're doing.
And keep that personality.
You know, you keep smiling.
I do my best.
You're the champ, Shen.
I do my best.
Yeah. You're the champ, Shen.
Thank you so much for coming on our show. It is an honor to have you
on
the show.
No problem. Thank you, guys.
All right, man.
Take care. Bye.
All right, man. Take care. All right, bye-bye.
Hey, Phil Baroni.
What's up?
How's it going?
Good. You're on the MMA Roasted podcast with me, Marina Shafir, T-Rex. What's going on, brother?
Not much, man. I'm chilling.
So it's good to hear hear you on the show, man. We haven't had you on in a while. Word is you're fighting in Japan in 10 days?
Yeah, man, yeah. It's pro wrestling. It's a pro wrestling match on Inoki's 72nd birthday.
Oh, nice. That's great. Now, who are you going up against?
I'm going against Fujita and Ikizawa, this guy that beat up Mark Coleman. Like, Coleman went over and did, like, a pro wrestling match, and the guy, like, was supposed to lose to him and didn't lose. And Coleman was, like, 50 years old. They had him, like, 2 weeks' notice and kind of took advantage of him and beat him up. So it's kind of a tag team match, but when I get in there with this guy, it's going to be real.
So is this a pro wrestling like a setup, or are you really gonna fight this guy?
No, it's the outcome's not predetermined. You know, you go out there, it's like a real wrestling. It's real wrestling.
So all right. So does anyone know it's
submission? With submissions.
Oh, so it's submission. So it's a real fight.
Is there gonna be a ladder in the cage?
Yeah, there's no ladders or chairs, though.
No ladders?
I don't know. You know, Japan's crazy. You never know until you get there.
Rumor has it you're going to be doing it with Wanderlei Silva.
No, Blue Jesus and Venezuela. Sorry, guys.
Wait, I'm a little confused. So it's a pro wrestling. So it's like, you know, kind of fake wrestling, but yeah. but you don't. But it's you're really gonna fight.
Right. It's not. It's really wrestling. You know, I didn't even know it existed. It's really. It's like a wrestling match with submission. It's a submission wrestling match, but in the ring, and it's tag team, so you can tag your partner. So I have a tag team partner.
Nice.
But you're just going to forego the wrestling and just beat the shit out of this poor guy?
Well, yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, like I'm going to try and win. Like, if the guy tries to like, whip me to the ropes, I'm not going to like go into the ropes just to turn around and tackle him. You know what I mean? Clothesline or something. I'm really going to bust this guy up.
All right. Now, you've been going to wrestling school, right?
Yeah, yeah.
How's that going?
Yeah, that's completely different for wrestling. That's completely dead. That's like what Mo and Rampage did on TNA, you know, like that kind of wrestling. That's completely different than this.
So this is actual like wrestling. Like it's basically catch wrestling.
Yeah, that's what exactly what it is. Catch wrestling. That's exactly what it is.
Now have you been training catch wrestling for this?
Yes.
Who you been training with?
Well, this guy, McCullough, Justin McCullough. You know who that is?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, him. He's my tag team partner.
That was the guy that was in the ring with Bonner, right? That was Tito's old friend?
With the mask, yeah.
Yes.
I think he's wearing the mask when we wrestle.
No, he's your tag team partner. So it's a tag team catch wrestling. Oh, wow.
Right.
I never heard. Now I heard that you've been training by taking lots of bong hits and drinking. Is that true?
Yeah. I forgot you even called me during the show. Sorry, man.
So you were at home taking bong hits, and you got a phone call. You want to do this, and you're like, "Fuck yeah,
yeah,
nice,
yeah, yes,
nice." Now, who is that? Who is that big?
I got 20 days notice.
Now, who is that big Asian guy you were with?
I did something, and it was more exhausting. It's more exhausting than a real fight. So you know, I'm definitely in trouble here. It's way more exhausting than the real fight.
Mm. Now, who is that big Asian guy you were with at your at the award show?
Ensign Inouye.
Ah, that's who that guy was.
You know who that is?
Yeah. He's a legend, that guy.
Yeah.
Nice.
Japanese
legend. I was wondering who that was.
Famous fighter.
Gotcha. Now, I always wonder, like, because you, now, a couple things that you've talked about on the podcast before that I've always had questions. You said in high school you were 302 in street fights, right?
Yes.
Now, who were the two guys you lost to?
Pretty tough guys.
But like, I mean, when was this?
I was probably like, you know, seventh grade, ninth grade, and they were in 12th grade.
Okay, so they were in 12th grade. So that was it. So then those are the only two losses you had in high school?
Yeah.
Hmm. All right. You know, Marina Philip was a very famous male stripper at one point. Who had a penis pump?
Awesome.
And a cock ring.
Now, do you miss those days or what?
Yeah, I do. Can't go back though.
His name was Big Baloney Baroni.
Now what is your wife? Sometimes it's like you have a really hot wife. By the way, I met her. She's adorable.
She has no idea. She has no idea about that part of my life.
So she has no idea about back in the day when you were.
She's probably MMA fighter guy. Yeah.
Okay, so she just knows about
that part of your life.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, what about the time you were in the Bahamas on an all-black male stripping team?
What about it? I can't.
Tell us about those days.
Those are fun. Those are good days.
Now,
those guys make a living going down to the Bahamas and hooking up with rich white chicks, spending a week with them, and they get a little tip at the end.
Sign me up.
No, and then you also told us.
I never knew it existed. Yeah.
Now, one of my favorite times you are on the show is when you said that you were training girls in Long Island. And in order to get them to buy more training sessions, you had to have sex with them. And then a lot of times they were dirty and smelly, but that's what you end up liking after a while.
Oh, my God.
We talked about this on the show or just in private?
No, you told me this on the show.
Yeah, I just realized, man, when Bonnet went off. You're just saying shit that we talked to on the phone. That's what say this on the show.
No, I swear to God.
That is shady,
no,
Adam.
I, didn't he say, you were there nah, when he said man, that, right? Nah, T-Rex, didn't man. He say that?
I remember the part about banging smelly old bags and that's what he likes now.
No, then you
said. I was joking.
No, and then you said. You said at one point. You said at one point you banged the chick.
I didn't even know you were calling today, man. I wasn't ready.
And then you said at one point you banged the chick in front of her husband, and then he shook your hand.
I don't remember this.
Oh, come on. What do you mean you don't remember this? Those are some of the most epic podcasts.
Oh, man.
Phil, you are a breath of fresh air today. Seriously.
So how do you feel about John Fitch getting busted? And I know he's your teammate. And now Hector Lombard getting busted for steroids and Anderson Silva. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know, man. What am I going to say? I have no idea. I have no idea, you know? Sucks.
Yeah.
I feel bad for those guys. That sucks. Really sucks.
Have you talked to War Machine recently or no?
He's hilarious. Hilarious.
Yeah.
He's all right.
Yeah.
He's fucked.
Yeah, he's fucked.
It's not good. What did you say? He's fucked.
Yeah, no, it's terrible.
Yes.
It's awful.
Yeah.
Where are you training for this catch wrestling match?
At Future Stars Wrestling. It's like a pro wrestling school, but as the more I'm finding out about this match that I'm doing, it's not really like, you know, TNA, WWE pro wrestling. It's real pro wrestling, so I'm not in shape for that. It's going to be really hard. Probably be my ass beat.
Oh, come on.
Don't set yourself up.
I'm just realizing it now, man.
Don't set yourself up, dude.
I just went for a run. I'm really training for this thing. It's going to be hard.
But why don't you just tag in Justin?
Yeah, I don't think he'll look too good in shape, does he? we're gonna get busted up. Like, where the foreigners? Like, I just figured it out, you know, now. Where the foreigners are getting in to put these guys over? They're going to just fuck us up. They already beat up Coleman. They're just going to beat our ass, make us look dead.
Man.
It's going to be a hard match, bro. I got to fucking train. I should get off this phone and go for a run. Go for another one.
This is just knock him out. That's what Ray Sefo did.
I'm taking a bong hit and talking on podcasts. I'm going to get my ass flexing with each other and shit.
Hilarious.
I got my neck broke in Japan.
Oh, man. What did your wife say about this? What did your wife tell you about this?
I didn't tell her I'm really going to get real. I said, you know, it was an easy pro to wrestle and fake match. She was just saying the other day, should you be training? What are you doing? I'm like, no, I'm good. Like, no, I'm good.
Now, according to back in the day, urban legend is that you used to go to the Rhino till like 4 o'clock in the morning or 5, take an hour asleep, and then go train at like 7. Is that true? Hello?
Yeah, something like that.
You're a legend, Phil, man. You're a legend.
I just wake up early, not really go to the Rhino. I go to Dre's. You know what Dre's is?
Yeah.
After hours.
Yeah, so I used to wake up really early, go to Dre's, and then go right to training. When we go for a run, then go to Dre's at like 4 or 5:30, and then just pick up all the fucked up scallywags, you know?
Scallywags.
Grab up my house and then go to training after that.
How many scallywags have you had?
I don't know.
Scallywags.
Yeah.
You're the New York badass for a reason, man. Well, listen.
Oh, man.
Well, listen, Phil. You're a legend, right, man. Well, good luck in Japan, dude.
Yeah, good luck.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah, just knock somebody out, man. Fuck the rules.
Let us know how it goes.
All right, man.
Live legendary.
All right, thanks, man.
Take it easy. Bye-bye.
So now we're talking to the COO of Titan FC, as well as one of the founders of Alchemist Management, Lex McMahon. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, brother. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
No worries, man. You're also the son of Ed McMahon, which is pretty amazing. Now, what was that like growing up being Ed McMahon's son?
Well, I'll tell you what. He was the coolest dude I've ever met. You know, people ask me all the time. He passed away when he was 86 years old. And people ask me, you know, do I mourn him? Have I ever mourned him? And the answer is absolutely not. He lived an incredible life. I can sit and tell you stories for days about the life that he lived. I missed him all the time.
Yeah.
You know, he was a role model. He was a mentor. He was a friend. But he lived an amazing life, and you know, I got to live that vicariously. So it was quite an experience.
I told my dad you're coming on the show. He was like, ask him if he knows when Johnny Carson was going to shoot Frank Gifford. Did you know that story beforehand?
Wait, what was it? One more time, brother?
When Johnny Carson was going to shoot Frank Gifford, right? Remember that?
Yep.
Did you know about that before?
No, did not.
Oh.
That predated me.
Oh, that predated you.
Johnny Carson was going to shoot Frank Gifford.
Yeah, he was upset over some girl, some kind of girl, something happened with the girl. And Johnny Carson.
Isn't that always the problem? Is some girl gets in the middle of things, and next thing you know, you got two celebrities ready to take each other out.
He was going
to
shoot him. He had a gun.
And what, did Ed talk him out of doing it?
I don't know. I guess maybe Ed was like, talked him out of it, so I figured that Lex would know the scoop.
No, Ed was a Marine. He didn't talk him out of it. He just knocked the sense into him, and that was the end of the story.
Yeah. Now you were also a Marine, right? You were over in Serbia, in Somalia, correct?
In Somalia, yeah, I was in the Marines for 8 years total, 4 years on active duty, 4 years in the Ready Reserves, and I did about a year and a half in Somalia, man, and it was, they like to call the unpleasantness of the early 90s.
Wow. Now, isn't that's crazy, though, that a guy like you who was born, you know, from Ed McMahon's son would join the Marines, right? I mean, that's not the most – I would think you'd not want – you'd have a pretty good life. Like,
yeah, what prompted you to do that?
Well, you know, I was actually – I went to Beverly Hills High School, and I was actually the first person who graduated from Beverly Hills High to go to the Marine Corps since Vietnam.
What?
So between Vietnam and 1989, no one enlisted voluntarily to go to the Marine Corps. The only people who went from Beverly Hills High were people who were drafted during the Vietnam War. you know, listen, I'm a believer in service. I'm a believer in that we all have a responsibility to our brothers and sisters and our community. And what better way to serve than protect those that you, you know, that are part of your community. And so I was always drawn to the military, and I believed that the Marine Corps was the toughest challenge. So if I was going to do it, I was going to do the toughest thing I could get my hands on, and I'm glad I did, because without question, it made me the man that I am today, and I'm incredibly thankful for it.
Well, thank you for doing that.
Yeah, but also your dad was a Marine too, right?
Yes, absolutely. 85 combat missions in World War II in Korea, flew the Corsair, which was widely considered the hottest fighter during World War II in Korea.
Wow.
Well, thanks to your whole family. Now, what's harder, being in the Marines or having a deal with MC Hammer?
depends on the day you ask. Hammer time is real. That's a real concept.
Yeah.
Hammer's an amazing, amazing man. He's an incredibly bright man. He's a man of God. He's a man of faith. He's an incredible friend. He's very business savvy. You know, what happened to him financially was very public, but yet he's come back and he makes more money now than he ever did. He's, you know, he redefined himself, and, you know, I'm blessed to have him as my partner and my friend.
Now, you guys still have Alchemist, right? Obviously?
Yeah, sure do.
Now,
sure
I was looking at some of your roster. You guys, you know, your notable clients, I was looking
Stephen
at are Brandon Schaub, Stephen Struve, Rowdy Beck, Jake Shields, and Rory McDonald, which, by the way, I mean, today just came out that Lombard tested positive. So who's Rory going to fight next, being that he's your client?
You know, we'll let that play itself out. Here.
No, come on. come on.
Sorry, no breaking news today on the show. I apologize.
Oh, come on. All right, the show's canceled. So... And all right, okay. Now you also were one of the founders of Cash for Gold.
No, actually, I was not. I actually did their sports marketing.
Oh, okay.
For them, the gentleman who was the owner, I negotiated my dad's contract to appear in the Super Bowl commercial alongside MC Hammer for Cash for Gold. And that's how I got connected to Jeff Aronson, who is now my partner in Titan, and was my partner in Alchemist as well.
Gotcha. Now, what's it like being the COO of Titan FC? And talk to us about that.
Yeah, you know, listen, it's a different side of the industry. And I feel, you know, very fortunate that, you know, I'm able to bring my diverse background. You know, when I came into this industry 5 years ago, on the agency side, there was no one that had a business degree or an MBA or a, you know, a law degree. I had both. And, you know, I had experience in venture capital. Like, that didn't exist. Literally, you had bail bonds and strippers, you know, Uncle Joey, Aunt, you know, Aunt Selma, you name it. Like, there wasn't business acumen in the industry at the time. And, you know, so I learned a lot quickly about this industry, and I was able to you know, do some things because of that background. But the great thing about it is it helped me to learn quickly other aspects of the industry and see other opportunities, especially my background in venture capital. You know, it's all about doing an analysis on where the void spaces were and where the opportunities were. And everybody says, oh, you know, the pay-per-view numbers are dying for the UFC. You know, this company got bought out. That company went out of business. I'll tell you what, from a pure business analytics perspective, MMA is a globally fast growth trajectory still. And so the opportunity to come in as a principal and the primary operations officer, you know, in the promotion was exciting to me. It was a new challenge. It was a new opportunity. So, you know, it's been great. We took Titan from a very small enterprise and, you know, with the vision of my partner, Jeff Aronson, and the team that we've assembled, and a lot of hard work, you know, we've grown Titan to a significant place. You know, I think arguably we're, you know, number three in, you know, it's certainly UFC, Bellator, World Series, and us all kind of, you know, Bellator, World Series, and ourselves kind of all vying for that number two, number three spot. So we're right in there, and we feel pretty good about it, where we're at.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are signing a lot of, like I was looking at some of the guys you got fighting, some of the, you just got, what's his name, the kid that missed Cody Bollinger, mm-hmm. is now with you guys, Desmond Green, and also Colton Smith is now with you guys. You guys are signing a lot of ex-UFC guys who we've had on the show, who I'm a big fan of. A lot of guys are saying that your contracts are a lot better than Bellator's contracts.
Well, you know, when we looked at it, we said, listen, how are you going to attract the best possible free agents, whether that's the young up-and-coming studs who haven't made a name for themselves yet, but a matchmaker does identify them, a guy like Brett Johns, who's considered, you know, the hottest prospect coming out of Europe. You know, he's fighting for our championship against Lyle Watson. You know, how do you identify a guy like that and attract him, as well as a UFC vet who has a big name, a guy like Pat Healy? You know, and how do you attract them so they don't go to some of the other promotions? Well, the key way, let's not joke here, right? Like, everybody wants to be in the UFC. You're either busting your ass to get to the UFC, or you're busting your ass to get back to the UFC. So from a competitive advantage standpoint, we looked at it and said, listen, we can attract the best possible talent by helping facilitate these people's dreams. We've done it, man. Like, we let quite a few fighters out. We before 10 days before a title fight or a main event, and we allow them to go back to the UFC or go to the UFC for the first time, and that's definitely, I think, been a real competitive advantage for us.
Yeah,
no, definitely. Do you guys have a women's division?
Not yet, but, you know, I mean, we're definitely taking a look at you know, where the opportunity with women's divisions would be. You know, I mean, the 125-pound division is kind of where an opportunity lies, I think, and, you know, we're looking at that. But, you know, we'll see. I think, you know, for us, the next big opportunity is the Mobile Aerofest card that we have upcoming on March 20th, you know, four title fights. You know, so we're focused our energy on that card and everything that's associated with that, you know, helping the veterans and doing a lot of community outreach
and then doing everything else after.
Our weigh-in on the USS Alabama, you know, we're focused on that event first. and then we'll start looking at some of these other things, you know, like expanding divisions and all that.
Now, who are these four? Who are these four title fights?
So we've got, you know, we got Healy versus Kinzer that we just added. We've got YL Watson versus Brett Johns. Like I said, that's going to be an amazing fight. You know, YL just had that incredible fight with Anthony Gutierrez where he came back and pulled off that incredible submission. He's fighting the top prospect coming out of Europe and Brett Johns. You know, we've got Kurt Holliva versus Desmond Green. That's going to be an incredible barn-burning fight. Desmond is defending champion. Kurt's a UFC vet, Strikeforce vet. You know, that fight has got fireworks all over it. Then you got John Matson and Chase Formley, but it's the heavyweight championship. And, you know, these guys are going to definitely get into the center of that hexagon, and they're going to start letting the weather fly. And it's going to be an exciting night, man. I mean, it's unprecedented to put on four title fights and try to, you know, put that much excitement and energy into a two-hour window on network television.
I love it. I love it. Well, listen, Lex, I'm going to be watching it.
Yeah, me too.
We're going to have your guys on the show. We're big fans of Titan FC. It's a fun organization. I still can't believe that you have a business degree, a law degree, you're a Marine, and you're on our podcast. So
thank you.
thank you for all that you do, and have a great week, man.
Hey, listen, thank you guys so much for having me on, man. Really appreciate it. You know, if there's anything else that, you know, either I or the organization or any of the athletes that we work with can do to help you guys, please let us know. You know, it's one big family, right? We got to help each other make this thing work.
Absolutely.
All right, guys. Take care. Thank you so
much. Thank you.
Thanks, man. Bye. All right. That was Lex McMahon. Well, listen, I think that's the end of our podcast. It's been quite a ride today. I feel like it started last week.
Thank you. It was fun to watch you guys fight again.
Thanks, T-Rex, for coming
back
T-Rex.
To our dysfunctional family. Thank you, Anthony Johnson. Thank you, Justin Bua.
Thanks, Daniel Cormier.
Thank you, Lex McMahon. Daniel Cormier was supposed to be on. I guess he'll come on next week.
Son of a bitch.
And then thanks, Phil Baroni. Thanks for everybody. Thank you, Evan the Beard, who's now sleeping.
Evan the Beard.
And I hope you guys have a great week and keep listening to the MMA Roasted podcast.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.